Thank you, Jonathan. That was a special request. They say that I'm growing old. I've heard them say it times untold, in language just so plain and bold. But I'm not growing old. This frail old shell in which I dwell, it's growing old, I know full well, but I am not the shell. What if my hair is turning gray? Gray hair is honorable, they say. And what if my eyesight's growing dim? I still can see to follow him who sacrificed his life for me upon the cross of Calvary. What should I care if time's old plow has left its furrows on my brow? Another house not made with hands awaits me in the promised land. And what though I falter in my walk, and what though my tongue refuse to talk, I still can tread the narrow way. I still can watch and praise and pray. My hearing may not be as keen as in times past it has been, but still I can hear my Savior say in whisper soft, I am the way. The outward man do what I can to lengthen out this life's short span, shall perish and return to dust, as everything in nature must. The inward man, the scriptures say, is growing stronger every day. Then how can I be growing old when I'm safe within the Savior's fold? Ere long my soul shall fly away and leave this tenement of clay. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize, and I'll meet you on the streets of gold and prove that I am not growing old. Seldom do I select just one section of a congregation this size and speak only to that section. And in some ways I shall not do that this morning, but in many ways I shall. I want to talk to us golden agers. So if you're a teenager, you're thinking, well, can I go? And the answer is no. Because what I'm about to say might in some way speak to your hearts about why moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas are the way that they are. Well, I'm a young college person. Can I go? Stay right where you are. For believe it or not, the days go by quickly, and days turn into weeks and weeks, months and months, years, and one of these days, instead of a teenager, you'll be a golden ager yourself. And moms and dads, you listen. For preparation for the day that is sure to come is necessary if we live out all of our days as God would be pleased for us to do so. May I set a foundational statement before you? If you are here, and you are, if you're still breathing, and I think you must be, then God has a plan and a purpose and a divine reason for leaving you here. You may be 20, you may be 80, you may be younger or older than those two figures. But the steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. And God has a reason for the teenager, the middle ager, and the golden ager. I heard about a church that kind of renamed their golden agers. You know, there's the golden ager, the senior saint. They call their group the metallic age. Silver in your hair, gold in your teeth, iron in your vitamins, and lead in the seat of your pants. You know who you are. Or should I say, we know who we are. I want to share four words with you golden agers this morning. Once again, encouraging everyone to listen in preparation and hopefully inspiration. Four words: today, yesterday, tomorrow, and forever. And around those four words, the 71st division of the Psalms has been built. Let me read you two verses. Psalm 71 and verse 9. Do not cast me off in the time of old age, and forsake me not when my strength is spent. Verse 18. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation and your power to all those to come. Now keep your Bibles open. The entire 24 verses will be our text for the message. The first four verses can be considered in that today bracket. The writer of the psalm says three things about our Heavenly Father to all of us who have come into that metallic age. He says, first of all, and perhaps most important of all, O Lord, I take my refuge in you. Never let me be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. I can go back a long, long way to a time when I asked Jesus Christ into my heart and into my life. And it might surprise you, but I'm just as saved this morning as I was late that night after vacation Bible school when I repented of my sin and asked Christ to save me. Golden Agers, the most important truth that you can know is that you know and know that you know that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. My Uncle Carl came to his 70th birthday lost in sin. And on his 70th birthday, the pastor of that little country church knocked on his door for the umpteenth time and said, Carl, the best birthday present a man could ever have is to come to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And in that little three-room house that Aunt Ruby and Uncle Carl lived in, he got on his knees and asked Jesus Christ to save him on his 70th birthday. He was baptized the next Sunday, so I'm here to tell you that God saves from the guttermost to the uttermost, and he'll save a 7-year-old, and he'll save a 70-year-old. So the most important thing you can know is not whether your bank account is full or your Social Security check is in the mail. Know that Jesus is your personal Savior. The second thing that he says is, Lord, when I incline my prayer to you, you incline your ear to me. Lord, you hear me when I pray. Listen, I know teenagers pray. They have tests in school. They have to pray. And I know that young adults pray. They have little children. What else are you going to do if you've got little children? And I know middle-agers pray. God help them. They've got teenagers. What else can you do but pray? But some of the best prayer warriors I know are the seasoned saints who have weathered the storms of life and who in those last days, weeks, and months of their life, they call out to a God they know well and they've known for a long time, and a God who's been ever faithful to them, and a God whom they know hears and answers prayer. And the third thing he said about today I can know I'm saved. Today I can know that my God hears my prayers. The third thing that he said is, oh God, you're my rock and my fortress. I can know that he and he alone is my protection. I have been asked dozens of times in recent weeks if I fear the outcome of what's going on in our world. I anticipate it getting worse. And then I anticipate it getting better. And the worse it gets, the more I anticipate the better it will be when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ are raised and the living saints are raptured. He's my protection. I'm glad to be an American and live in the United States, but I'm not counting on the government for anything my future holds. I'm holding fast to a nail-scarred hand. He's my rescue. He's my deliverer, and in Him, you and I can place our trust. Well, that's about today. Let me take you back to yesterday, verses 5 through 13. The first thing that he says in these yesterday verses is that our God is a faithful God. We must remember God's faithfulness. He says in verse 5, I've leaned on you, Lord, before my birth. You are who took me from my mother's womb, and my praise is continually of you. Listen, go back in your life to the early days. As Jonathan's song said, I could climb the hill all day long. But outward strength is not what makes a man or a woman the Christian they ought to be. It's inward strength. And inward strength comes from a God who has never, never let me down. He's always been faithful. Do you remember what David said in the 37th Psalm? I once was young, and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's children begging for bread. We have a faithful God, and upon that you can count that if He was faithful yesterday, He's going to be faithful today and all the days yet to come. Not only did he record him as faithful, he reminded himself of God's power. He said, Lord, I have been a portent. Now, what does that word mean? I've been a sign. I've been a wonder. I've been a miracle. All the psalmist was saying is, God, in days gone by, you've used me. People have looked at me and seen you in me. And in these last days, he said, I want to finish strong. I want people to look at my life and see Jesus Christ in me. In fact, like old Samuel in the Old Testament, when he said somewhere between Mizpah and Shin, he found a place and built an altar, and he called it his Ebenezer. And he said, thus far has the Lord been with me. Build you an Ebenezer. Claim the faithfulness of Almighty God and remind yourself that the God who saved you has used you, and He'll continue to use you until He calls you home. The third word in this passage is the word tomorrow, and that's the word we're most worried about. Somehow some of us think we can make it through today. It's tomorrow, and the tomorrow's yet to come that we concern ourselves about. Well, let me just get down where the rubber meets the road and tell you one important thing. You need to enter your tomorrow, Golden Agers, with a positive mindset. You'll discover in verses 14 and following that the psalmist changes the tense of his word. He has been saying present tense. Now he says, I will continually hope. I will, future tense. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts. He's entering into the last stages of his life with a positive mindset. For some reason, some of us, when we get a little older, get critical, judgmental, and negative. Cast those attitudes out in the mighty name of Jesus and enter the last stages of your life with a positive mindset that simply says, I can do all things through Jesus Christ, who is my Lord. You'll be easier to live with, and living will be more joyful than you can possibly imagine. He not only had a positive mindset, listen, he had a passionate testimony. When I began reading from verse 15 and read all the way through verse 21, I found 8 characteristics of God that this psalmist began to brag about. He said, Lord, you've got righteous acts. He talked about his deeds, his righteousness, his teachings, his nearness, his might, his power, and his deliverance. He was bragging on Almighty God. If you'll spend the last days of your life on this earth bragging on Almighty God, you'll hear the first words when you enter the kingdom, well done, thou good and faithful servant. This psalmist didn't spend the last of his days murmuring and complaining about the earth he lived on. He spent his days bragging about the God that he loved and the God he was going home to. And I challenge you in that very way. Enter your golden years with a mindset that's positive and with a testimony that's full of the passion and the excitement of Almighty God. And he came to the last word then, the word forever, beginning in verse 22 and moving through verse 24. The first thing that he did was make a proclamation. And here's what the proclamation is. In verse 1, he said, Lord, never let me be put to shame. In verse 24, he said, Lord, I'm going to talk about your righteousness, for they have been put to shame. Now listen to what he said. In his early days, he said, Lord, it's about me. I don't want to be put to shame. In his later days, he says, Lord, it's about you. You have given me the victory by putting all of my enemy to shame. End your life with it all about him. It's easy for us to start out saying, Lord, it's about me. Take good care of me. But when you've lived for him all those years, it's easy to end it up by saying, Lord, you who have taken care of me all of my life, you have given me the victory in Jesus Christ the Lord, because greater is me in me than he that is in the world. I was worried about my shame, but you put them all to shame, Lord, because you are a righteous and almighty God. That's the proclamation he made. Then I think in this psalm, he made an observation. He began by looking back on the trials and the difficulties that he'd had, the blessings that had come his way. He looked around him and he saw all of the enemies and how God had helped him overcome the difficulties and the enemies of life. And then he looked ahead and he saw old age and he said, Lord, even when my hair gets gray, I still have something to do. I want to hang around long enough to proclaim to the next generation the glories of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I think he looked up and he said, Lord, your righteousness reaches up to the heaven. I'm going to praise you with a harp for your faithfulness. I'm going to sing your praises, you Holy One of Israel. I'm going to shout for joy and sing praises to you because I'm redeemed. My tongue's going to talk about your righteousness all the day long because you've put to shame and disappointment all those who sought my hurt. When he looked up, his worry left him. His anxiety melted. His confidence grew. Everything that troubled him diminished. And what really got hold of him is, I am not growing old. I've heard it told times untold. It's this frail old shell in which I dwell that's growing old, I know full well. But I am not that shell. I'll meet you on the streets of gold. I'm looking for a better day, a land that is fairer than this earth, and I'll prove that I'm not growing old. Two verses of an old hymn. Once earthly joy I craved, sought peace and rest. Now, thee alone I seek, give what's best. Golden Ager, you're here because God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Teenager, you may think it's many years from now, but time flies, and someday you'll need the advice this old preacher has given you this morning. And if you're in the middle of the road, and life has you burdened down and you struggle with the business of getting by. The winter season of your life is not far away. Enter that season with your hands lifted in praise and your heart full of confidence that He who hath begun a good work in you will finish it until the day of completion. Let's stand. The pastors will be here in the altar. And you have the opportunity this morning, if you've never trusted Christ, to do so. They'd love to tell you how you can pray and receive Him into your heart. You could become a part of our church family this morning if you'd like to do that. They'll tell you just how that can be so. And maybe you've been concerned and anxious and worried, and you'd just like a friend to love you and pray for you. The pastors would love to do that. The altar is open for you to just pray by yourself and on your own, because God hears when we call out to Him. These next moments are moments of dedication, and they're moments of preparation. Make good use of them to the glory of God.
Take my life and